You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow, and for the rest of the hour, an update on an ongoing environmental and botanical tragedy, the destruction of the Amazon rainforest. The Brazilian government this week released figures documenting how much of the rainforest was lost last year. That figure now is 9,000 square miles in 2003, or if you prefer, that's an area equivalent to nearly 6 million acres, or an area the size of Massachusetts. The government managed to see a bright spot in those figures. The growth rate of deforestation has been halted, said Brazil's Environment Minister Marina Silva. In other words, the destruction continues, but it isn't increasing at record-setting rates anymore. Is that a good thing? Joining me now to talk about the figures and the causes behind the deforestation is my guest, Dr. William Lawrence, staff scientist at the Smithsonian Tropical Research Institute in Balboa, Panama, and a researcher at the National Institute for Amazonian Research in Manaus, Brazil. And he joins us by phone from Panama. Welcome back to Science Friday, Dr. Lawrence.
Thanks, Ira.
You were just here a few weeks ago, talking about the deforestation. What's different about this study?
Well, the information from Brazil is, in some sense, it's not as bad as perhaps we thought, but I guess the bottom line is the figures that are coming out are really striking in the sense that about 6 million acres of forest was destroyed last year, and overall there's clearly a trend, a strong trajectory over the last 10 or 12 years or so in increasing deforestation. For example, in the early 1990s, the annual rate of forest loss was about 3.5 million acres of forest per year. In the late 1990s, that went up to about 4.5 million acres per year. In the last couple of years, we've had a rate almost 6 million acres per year. So very clearly there's an increasing trend over time. Now, as you mentioned, the government has tried to spin this in a positive way, and that's really what governments try to do. But overall, clearly there's a strong overall increase in deforestation rates. It hasn't jumped up. The rate in 2002 leapt up by about 30% over the previous year, and this year's rate is just a little bit higher than the previous year, which is obviously good news that it's not as bad as it could be. But I think that one important point is that the economic growth in Brazil in this last year has been quite weak. And traditionally in the Amazon, we've seen that economic growth has been a strong indicator of how much deforestation is going to go on. So had there been better economic growth in Brazil, we think there probably would be even worse deforestation. And the bottom line is we're losing forest in the Amazon now at a breakneck pace. The average rate last year was equivalent to about 11 football fields every minute. So obviously it's an astonishingly high rate of forest destruction.
Well, let's talk about the politics and economics of why this is happening. If the environment minister, Ms. Silva, says, trying to spin it, put a positive angle on it, she must know that this is not something to be proud of. Why don't they, quote-unquote, do something about it?
Well, it's a big, complex issue. The current administration, the Lula administration in Brazil, has had a very, very strong focus on poverty alleviation, and many people have been somewhat disappointed in their stance on environmental issues, although it is still fairly early in their administration, and there's obviously time to improve things. And to some extent, the very high deforestation rates that we're seeing now were inherited from the previous administration and from its policies. But in terms of what's happening, this is a government and the previous government that have both been pushing very much an aggressive infrastructure stance towards the Amazon. For example, one of the foundations of their federal policy has been a huge infrastructure and highway expansion program in the Amazon. This is called the Advanced Brazil Program, and this is going to lead to about 5,000 miles of new highway paving. It's going to lead to large new road networks, major railroads, river channelization projects, some huge hydroelectric dams, power lines and gas lines, and many of these projects are going to be ramifying through the Amazon, crisscrossing through the basin and cutting right into the heart of the basin, into some of the largest and most pristine forest tracts parts of the basin that are existing today. And unfortunately, what we've seen in the past in the Amazon, because there is a lot of population pressure, when you open up a new area of forest, this almost inevitably opens a Pandora's box of illegal colonization and spontaneous predatory logging activity and hunting and incursions by miners. And so you get this big influx in forest destruction and forest degradation, which is just, in some cases, has been catastrophic. And so it's difficult for the Brazilian government to reconcile, on one hand, their efforts towards conservation, on the other hand, with this major development program. There are other trends as well. For example, cattle ranching has been growing very rapidly in the Amazon over the last 10 years or so. In 1990, there was about 26 million head of cattle in the Amazon. Today, there's almost 60 million head of cattle in the Amazon.
And this is really prime beef, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Brazil produces very good beef, and a lot of this is being exported. Brazilian beef has grown very rapidly in terms of its export markets. Part of the reason is economic, because the Brazilian currency has declined in value. When we moved to Brazil in 1996, the real, which is their currency, was worth about $1.20. Now it's worth about 35 cents. And of course, when the currency changes that dramatically, it makes your exports very competitive, and it also makes, for people in the Amazon and other parts of Brazil, it makes cattle ranching very profitable. Another thing that's happened is that Brazil has been effective in controlling hoof and mouth disease, and they haven't had mad cow disease, and so they've been able to export to areas where that's an important issue, of course. So the exports in Brazilian beef now have grown very dramatically in the last couple of years to Europe and to the Middle East and to Russia, for example. So they've seen a big increase in cattle ranching, and that's traditionally been an important factor in Amazonian deforestation, and it's something that's continuing to grow. Mm-hmm. And then a third factor we're seeing is soybeans, industrial soybean farming. Brazil is set to probably become the world's largest producer of soybeans, and in 1990 they had about 25 million acres of land under soybeans, and today they've got about 45 million acres under soybeans, and it's just growing at a tremendous rate. Now, most of the soybean production is actually not occurring in the rainforest. It's occurring in the drier savannas to the south of the Amazon, and also in some transitional forests, which are somewhat drier. But what is happening is that soybean farmers are going in and they're planting soybeans in a lot of areas that have already been deforested or that are secondary forests or that are transitional forests. And what they're essentially doing is pushing out the slash-and-burn farmers and the cattle ranchers and essentially pushing them ever further into the forest frontier. So that has been increasing deforestation. And then finally, the soybean lobby is very powerful in Brazil, and they are one of the key forces pushing for all the new highways and new infrastructure projects, because a lot of these new projects, which are cutting right into the heart of the Amazon basin, are designed to get the huge amounts of soybeans that are being produced as cheaply and quickly as possible to the Amazon River, where they can then be exported internationally. So they're very powerful.
Of course, I would imagine that the government and the industry there says, hey, you know, we have a lot of poor people. This would make a lot of jobs for people.
Well, it's obviously that's a difficult argument, and Brazil does have a dire need for poverty alleviation. In the case of the industrial soybean farmers, though, it's a little hard to be sympathetic to that argument in their case, because, in fact, the soybean farmers are actually creating less jobs than the areas that the other kinds of land uses that they're displacing. Most of the land uses that are being pushed out are small agriculturalists and small-scale farmers, and so the industrial farmers come in, and mostly they're based on mechanized machinery, petroleum-based machinery, and it's been shown that there's actually less employment provided by industrial soybeans than by other kinds of land uses. So although it is, I mean, it's a fair point to make, Ira, that Brazil does have a dire need to try to address some of the issues that they've got with poverty in the Amazon.
Yeah. You know, we sit back here and we have people who are strip mining our land. We have, you know, clear cutting of our forests. How do we have the chutzpah to tell these people not to do it where they live?
Well, that argument is not lost on the Brazilians, no doubt at all. And I think that it's very quickly, as a person from the U.S. working internationally in tropical forest conservation and in places like the Amazon, you very quickly have the whole hypocrisy issue raised as, you know, well, why should we, you know, conserve our forest when you haven't done a very good job of conserving yours? And I don't want to get too political here, but I have to say that in recent years, with the changes that we've seen under the present administration here in the U.S., the perception has been that the U.S.'s stance on environmental issues has really declined. And in fact, I testified in Brazil's National Congress about Amazonian deforestation and about the production of greenhouse gases only 3 days after President Bush declared that the U.S. was going to be withdrawing from Kyoto. And it was really a very difficult situation to be put in, to be trying to testify about the evils of deforestation when the U.S. had made such a dramatic move, which was very widely perceived as being anti-environmental. And a number of Brazilians stood up in that session and just railed against the U.S. So those kinds of policies have a major impact on how environmental issues and how some of the environmental efforts that people are involved in are perceived around the world.
talking about the Amazon rainforest deforestation this hour and Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. My guest is Dr. William Lawrence, staff scientist at the Smithsonian Tropical Research Institute in Balboa, Panama. Is the government honestly trying to do something? And we hear that they have these every 6 months or so they come out with another plan, or at least they have another plan.
Well, that is an interesting question, and Brazil is a big, complex country, much like the U.S. or any other country, and I think there are aspects of the Brazilian government that are sincerely interested in trying to slow the breakneck pace of Amazonian deforestation. Unfortunately, there's other ministries, and they're very powerful ministries, that are much more oriented towards economic development and exports and other kind of policies that are inevitably development-oriented. In the current sway in Brazil, I think you'd have to say that the environment is just not as critical, seen as critical an issue as some of these other political forces. And I think there really is right now a clear inconsistency in some of the things that are happening in Brazil. And this is maybe some of the tragedy of what's happening in the Amazon right now, is that the government is trying to take a number of steps. That they've announced several new initiatives, as they have in the past, that are trying to slow forest loss. The current initiatives have to do with increasing the amount of satellite monitoring of deforestation, and it also has to do with increasing the enforcement activities in the Amazon, because there's a huge amount of illegal activity that happens, spontaneous colonization, illegal deforestation. About 80% of the timber cutting in the Amazon is illegal, with timber being stolen and with absolutely no form of environmental control, and that's according to the Brazilian government's own figures. Mm-hmm. So there's obviously these are moves in the right direction, but yet the government is not addressing what I think are some of the most fundamental causes of increasing deforestation. And even more worrisome than that, it's not just the amount of forest destruction that's occurring, but also with these major new highways and infrastructure projects that are crisscrossing the basin, we're talking about chopping up the Amazon basin, fragmenting the forests of the basin on an unprecedented spatial scale. And this is really, I think, where this is what alarms me the most about the development schemes occurring in the Amazon right now, is that we're talking about such a profound change in the world's largest remaining area of tropical forest. And it's pushing so hard for these major new infrastructure projects and highways. And we're talking about $40 billion, U.S. dollars, of total investments here if all the current projects proceed. And so it's quite inconsistent for the government on one hand to be saying, look at these new initiatives, we're doing what we can to try to slow Amazonian deforestation, and yet on the other hand, having huge programs which are clearly going to increase not only the rate of forest destruction, but the fundamental nature of the Amazonian forest by chopping it up into a series of discrete blocks. And those discrete blocks of forest will be much more vulnerable in the future to predatory logging and to wildfires and to a whole range of activities that are inevitably or very likely going to lead to large-scale degradation and losses of forest.
So it must be very frustrating for you to just sit there and watch this happening.
Well, it is. It is a frustrating thing to do. And of course, as a non-Brazilian, one has to be a little circumspect in terms of what one can do. Really, obviously, Brazil is a sovereign country, and what we try to do is point out the implications of some of these policies, and then Brazil has to make the decisions, and Brazilian decision makers have to do this. But I think Brazil is sensitive to international opinion, and so it's helpful when people throughout the world understand the implications of some of the things that are going on there. And another thing that's happening is that a lot of the development projects have international investors involved, and so if the international investors are better appraised of the impacts, the potential impacts of some of these projects, then I think that can be helpful.
So if you get the rest of the world motivated, they might be able to lobby.
Yes, that would be. I think that would be a good thing to happen.
All right, Dr. Lawrence, I want to thank you again for taking time to talk with us here on Science Friday.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck to you. William Lawrence is a staff scientist at the Smithsonian Tropical Research Institute in Balboa, Panama, and at the National Institute for Amazonian Research in Manaus, Brazil, and he joined us today by phone from Panama. Our program is produced by Annette Heist, senior producer Karen Vergoth. Charles Berquist is our web producer and our director. Our intern is Erica Altman. If you missed any of the references we talked about today, surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com. You can leave us email. You can also download free curricula, teaching material we make for Science Friday using Science Friday's stuff we talk about on the radio. And also there's real audio you can listen to. And also you can download past editions of Science Friday on your Audible.com player. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.